Good to see you today, and we appreciate this church and all they've done for us over the years. Thank the Lord for your faithfulness and your love to us. And we love Worth Baptist Church and the people of this church. And it's good to be able to still be here and be a teacher of this auditorium class. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn today to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We ended up the last series. There were a couple of series of messages that the pastor wanted us to teach, so we pulled out of some lessons we were teaching on we have passed from death unto life. And I should have reminded you last week to bring your little booklet with you. I did tell you many moons ago that we would go back to that, but I'm sure you haven't remembered that. And but if you still have that booklet, the pupil's guide with you at home, I hope you'll look it over for this week and bring it back with you next week. And in this series, there have been some things we wanted to emphasize in teaching that we have passed from death unto life. And one of them is the person of the Lord Jesus, and to show that eternal life is only through the Lord Jesus. And then to know the characteristics of the children of God and the children of the devil, those who are children of the devil, and to learn about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as that is involved with our passing from death unto life, and then having assurance of salvation. And that's important, that we have the assurance of salvation by seeing the things that give evidence in our own lives that we really are saved. If you claim to be saved, claim to be a Christian, there should be a lot of evidence in your life that you really are born again. And then what it means to truly love one another since we have been born again. Some of the lessons we've already covered. First chapter that we had, the first lesson was the Word of Life. How in 1 John 1:1, the Lord in the beginning was the Word, and that was the Lord. And then the God is light in our next lesson. And so there was an emphasis on that, holiness, and how He reveals things. And then the third lesson had to do with the fact that we have a go-between, a lawyer, an advocate, who is Jesus, who intercedes for us. And the next lesson was that we know Him. Proof that our conduct gives evidence that we really do know Him, if we say we do. And then the true light now shineth. That was the fifth lesson we had. Light shining produces love, and we should love one another. And then knowing God intimately, making a difference in the world. And then we have an unction from the Holy One, that is the unction of the Holy Spirit, in lesson number seven. Lesson number eight was the children of God and the children of the devil, comparing those two. And then number nine, we have passed from death unto life, that emphasis. And number 10, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, how we can know the difference. Now today, we want to take up with perfect love, and talk about that as it is emphasized, especially here in 1 John chapter 4. So let's look there, beginning with verse 7. And I'm going to read through all the way through the end of the chapter, beginning with verse 7. And I hope you have your Bibles open there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or an atonement, a satisfier to the Father for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's proof of it. And His love is perfected in us, or matured in us. Hereby we know Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in him, and he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or mature, complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God love his brother also, a commandment that we have from God. Love can be one of the most misunderstood things in the world, to really define it and understand it. And it's something that everybody desires in our life, but sometimes it's sort of hard to discover exactly what God means by that and our position in that and what we should do. And so a lot of times we use 1 Corinthians 13, which is the classic passage on love, but many believe that this is even a more powerful passage on love and how we should relate to love, and that this is greater than that. Now, in the 18th verse, notice what he talks about. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Underscore those words. Perfect love. What does it mean? Perfect love. Mature love. Complete love. The very nature of the expression knows and teaches us that we'll be dealing with no other love than the love of God. And so in 1 John 3:1, we read these words, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love he has bestowed upon us. Well, what kind of love do you think he's bestowed upon us? Well, the scripture says it is a mature or a complete or a perfect, to use the scripture, the perfect love. And so John writes about that, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the love of God has shown to us that he's given us is a perfect, complete love that we have. Now, in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? Now, there again, God so loved the world, he's talking about this perfect love of God. God so loved, perfectly loved the world, completely loved the world. And it is the same thing that he's talking about here in 1 John 4. It is the perfect love that he mentions that we've read in these verses. Now, let's look at the person of this love. The person of this love. Where does this love begin? Where does it originate? Where does it start? Well, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, look there. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. It comes from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. So where does it originate, this love? It originates with God. It originates with a Father. He is love. And this love, he says, ought to be shed abroad in our lives. We don't just take it in, we give it out. And it should be shed abroad in our lives. So it's more than some emotional feeling we have for someone. It's more than sympathy like we might have for someone during a time of a loss of a loved one. It's deeper than that. It is God's kind of love. and loving somebody like God wants us to love. It is God's love. It is perfect love. And God, if we have that love in us, it'll be like His love. He wanted the best for us, and we should want the best for other people because God's love is in us. And what is the best thing that could happen to somebody? They get saved. The best thing that could happen to them is that they get saved. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that word shed means it just flows out. The love of God just flows out of us. It's like a spring that's coming out of us. It gushes out of us. Is that the kind of love you have in your heart today? It gushes out of you. It's shed abroad. It's not to be kept in, but it is to pour out of our hearts. And so the best thing we can do for others is tell them how to be saved. That's the kind of love God had for us. That's the kind of love we should have for others. And that's why we preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's why we give them that confidence that they can be saved through that. And the cross is the main thing that demonstrates the love of God. If you get to having a pity party or thinking God hadn't treated you right, go back and focus on the cross. Go back and think about what He's done for you in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we just celebrated His death, burial, and resurrection on Easter Sunday. And that demonstrates His love, the cross. And so God gives us a photo of ourselves. And I want you to turn now to Romans to show you part of the problem, and that is a photo of ourselves. Go to Romans chapter 3, if you can find it there pretty quickly. Romans chapter 3, and I want to take time to read a number of these verses, beginning with verse 9. This is a photo that God gives us of ourselves. Here's what he says then with a rhetorical question as he starts out in Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That is really a description of what we were before we got saved. That's what we were before we got saved. It's a description of all lost people. Our mouth is like an open sepulchre, and our hearts are wicked. You say, well, I wasn't so bad. Well, if you broke one part of the law, you broke all the law, and you're a sinner. We're all bad before we get saved, and it's not natural for us to seek after the Lord. That isn't a natural thing. And so God, in spite of the fact that we were like that, and we deserved hell and nothing more than hell, that's all we deserved, He loved us when we were unlovely, when we were lost, when we were hellbound, and we were deep in our sin. And so He says, in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. We ought to know the Lord. We should be people who love. And God says that we're to love the brethren. And sometimes we get a wrong attitude about people, and God says that ought to be corrected. That's not the way I want you to love. And if we get a bad attitude towards someone and we are angry and we don't love them and we don't love the lost people like we ought to love the lost people and have mercy on the lost people, it is a reminder that we've sort of forgotten what God has done for us. We may look down our noses at some other people. We should not do that. And sometimes we have an attitude of condemnation. Isn't it strange that now there's no longer any condemnation? We're no longer under that because we're saved, and yet we have a tendency to condemn other people and to not love them and try to get them to Christ, but to talk about them and look down upon them and make fun of them and that type thing. And that doesn't please the Lord. That's not what God says. So this love emanates from God. It starts with God. He proved it to us. He gave it to us. It ought to be shed abroad in our hearts, and we should love others because of the love God has for us. Now, what about the perfecting of this love? God works in our hearts, and God causes us to become a loving people. He's a God of perfect love, mature love, and He's shown that in us, and He's shown that to us. And God is working in our hearts to bring us to that place of this kind of love. Now, go to Matthew, if you will, chapter 5, just a second. Matthew 5, and here's what God has to say about it, Jesus has to say about it. Verses 43, Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, the end of that chapter. And here's how strict He is about it. Jesus was. And we ought to be like our Father. We ought to be like Jesus. We ought to be like our Savior and our Father. And here's what He said in verse 43, Matthew 5, 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And anybody in this class agree with me that that's some, sort of a tough thing to do sometimes? I find it tough to do all the time, to love my enemies. But I say unto you, Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That we'll act like our Father. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. All the time the sun's shining, it's shining on the wicked as well as the good, the righteous. All the time it rains, the rain is needed, it's raining for those the same way that are wicked as those that are righteous. For if you love them which love you, that's the natural thing to do. I love you, you love me, I love you, you love me. That's the natural thing. What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Boy, you talk about a punch in the nose right there. Don't even the publicans love those that love them? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore mature, perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. He said, if you're going to be like me, your Father, you're going to love your enemies. You're going to love people that are unlovely. And that is a command of the Lord that we do that, and we are to be like our Father. We're to love them. In order to be like Him, we have to do that. And He is saying, let's go to John just a second, chapter 13, and look at what He says in this chapter, John chapter 13. Not 1 John, but John 13, and verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. And He says, a new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Don't forget how much He loved us, what He's done for us, that ye also love one another. Now, here's a strong hallmark statement about Christianity. Verse 35, by this, by the fact you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dance, by this, and I think you ought to not do those things, but by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall, how's that? If you have love one to another. He says there's one thing, one main thing, that would demonstrate to all the people in the world that you belong to me, that is that you love one another. That'll take care of church splits, won't it? That'll take care of divorces. That'll take care of a lot of things, that you love one another. All of this, this one thing. And so He says we're to be recognized that we're disciples by this. Now back in 1 John chapter 4, and I hope you sort of keep your finger in that place. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen him physically in that way. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's how other people see God in us. And his love is perfected or matured in us. It is matured in us. And so that again is evidence that we belong to him. It is God's love developing and growing in us. And I ask the question, is that true of you today? Is God's love growing and maturing? Is it to the place where it's mature in my life and in your life? The love of God is to fully develop and mature in us. One of the greatest illustrations I know, and I don't have time to go over all of that, but you remember the story of Hosea and Gomer. And his wife left him and she went out. She was a prostitute and left her children, all of those things. And she got down and out. She was really a drunkard, it implies. And here he is out searching for her. And when he finds her, what does he do? He buys her. She's already sold as a slave. He purchases her back, takes her back to the children and to be his wife. I want to tell you, friend, that took a lot of love. But that's the kind of love you and I are supposed to have in our lives for other people, even for those who mistreat us, even for our enemies. So that is the person of love and then the perfecting of this love. And then the power of this love. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect or mature, complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now notice how he connects that with the day of judgment. The judgment seat of Christ for the believer now, okay? Not the great white throne judgment, judgment seat of Christ. Herein is our love made complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We know that we've been saved. We're like him. The proof is that we have that love and we know his love and we share that love. We shed it abroad in our hearts. So we know that that's proof and we're going to be all right and have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We're like him in this world. So when we meet God, we're not going to have fear. We're going to be bold. Why? Because we know we have experienced the love of God, and we know we have this love of God in us. And we're not afraid to die. Why? We have the love of God in us. We're not afraid to die. You should not be afraid to die. Sometimes we think about it a little bit. We have a little bit of apprehension. But perfect love does what? Casteth out fear. Perfect love. Fear is something that is bad. Fear is something that is difficult. But he's saying, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And our view of judgment is totally different. And our view of dying is different. Why is that? It's because Christ's love has changed my life and your life. And that is how powerful his love is. It's so great that it changes us from what we used to be that we read about a while ago to what we are today. In 1 John 4:20 and 21, look at that, verses 20 and 21. This is very strong. For if a man say, or if a person, generic, if a man or mankind say, I love God and hateth his brother. And even in the original language, hate could be rendered loves his brother less. That we love him less than we love ourselves. But certainly it would involve a deeper hatred and a deeper dislike. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Wow, that's strong. That is really strong, isn't it? Who's calling you a liar? It's not me. It's God that would call all of us a liar. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. It's not true. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God in whom he hath not seen? And this commandment, not an option, not something if you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, you'll have to take it. And this commandment, this divine imperative, have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And look at all the people around you in this room today. You love them? You say, well, I don't know if I love him. I don't know if I love you. You're supposed to. I'm supposed to, and you're supposed to. We're all imperfect. We've all been saved by the good grace of God and the love of God, right? And it's the mercy of God. And so for you to say, I love God, but I hate you, that won't fly. God says, that's not right. I love God, but I hate you. He says, a person that says that is a liar. He's very strong about it. And I'm telling you, we got a lot of homework to do, I think. But he says, love the brethren. Love the brethren. Love them, love them, love them. Especially the household of God. But also he implies loving the world that is lost. Even though they look different, they talk different, they cuss, they get drunk, they have tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet in places you would not want to discuss. They have tattoos everywhere. And they don't dress like us when they come in. We got to love people. Love people. Jesus loved people. And such were ye. We may not have been exactly like them, but that's part of it. Now, it's a command, love the brethren. Would God ask us to do something we can't do? This answer is going to surprise you. Yes. But you can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it through you. That's why it's so important to know that he, in his strength, will give you the strength when it's very difficult and very hard to love somebody who is, quite frankly, very, very unlovely. But we have to love them because God first loved us. And if we say that we love God, I love God, I love you, God, and we don't love our brethren, I'm telling you, that's plain. He says, we are liar. We are lying about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love that you have extended to us when we were so unlovely. Even if we were young and got saved, we were still sinners. We were separated, alienated from you. And he that believeth not is condemned. And so we were under condemnation. Some deep in sin, some maybe not as deep, but all of us lost and bound for hell. But your love arrested us. You loved us in spite of that. And you said that this is the kind of love we ought to shed abroad in our hearts. And that the world is going to know that you live in us. And the great sign is that we love, really love one another. Help us to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.